The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you don't believe in the Creator, if you don't believe there is a Creator, you might want to think about that. Why should He want anything for you when you die? He's also said concerning believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. So if you're a believer and you're not really doing much to serve the Almighty, you might want to think about that. You've got this life only to qualify for a high throne in heaven. And if you don't get it right in this life, you're not going to get it. Tonight's teaching is Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty, Part 6. And we're looking at Component 4, Cleansing, and this is the second session on that. In doing this, I want to remind you that the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet, and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. I would like to challenge you today. If you are not one of the people who is seeking such a close relationship with Father, turn around. This is the day to do it. So tonight we're looking at seven components of drawing close to the Almighty. We're looking at cleansing, and we're continuing with that. We're going to look at the following. I want to stress this is so of all the teachings that I've given on this program so far, this is probably the most radical, probably for most people the most controversial, most challenging. If you're serious about serving Father, I would urge you to really listen to what I'm going to talk about tonight and also in the next few programs, because really we live in a contaminated, spiritually devastated world, which means that we bring a whole lot of junk with us into our relationships with Father, and we need to deal with that, and that's what this program's about. So we're going to look at some general principles that may seem foreign to you. I'll recommend a 7-day water-only fast for cleansing. We'll look at shaving almost your entire body. We will discuss dealing with the consequences of sexual promiscuity. We'll look at dealing with the impact of tattoos and piercings. We will look at full-body anointing with the blood of the covenant and the oil of the Spirit of Yah, the Almighty. We will look at triple immersion. We will touch on cleansing your dwelling, more detailed cleansing of demons, and doing an in-depth spiritual audit of your life. I will recommend that you spend the 7 days of the fast in reading, study, and prayer. There's much on the website. We will look at repeating the shaving, anointing, and immersion 3 times over 8 days. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I've had 26 years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993 when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room. In fact, he spoke to me so clearly, it was as clear as you can hear me now. That caused me to turn my life around. It caused me to start seeking him. And because he'd spoken to me, I was never in any doubt that he would continue to speak to me. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email lists, websites, this radio program, and shortly with physical books. What's the program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. Please see the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. For more information, that's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Some questions from last week's program. Number one, so you're going to show us different ways in the next few weeks. I'm certainly going to show you a variety of things that you can do and that I believe you should do in drawing close to Father. I can't stress enough, this world has been dominated by the satanic and demonic realm for the last 6,000 years. It's corrupt, it's defiled, in spiritual terms, it's dirty. We are brought into a contaminated world. We grow up in a contaminated world. When we come to serve Father, when we come to know Father, we bring that contamination with us. This program is about the processes and procedures and steps that I have found effective in cleaning up my life to get to a place where I have a deep personal relationship with Him. And I'm not going to say for a moment that I'm as close as I could be. I'm definitely not as close as I could be. I'm not as close as I would like to be. I'm not as close as I was a few years ago. But I'm determined to get closer again. And I encourage you to do the same. Question number two, why do we have to be on our knees for prayer? You don't have to be on your knees for prayer. In fact, you don't have to do anything that I'm telling you to do. I've just found that it works. Getting on your knees is a position of humility. It reminds you that your Father is the Almighty. And I just find that I hear Him more clearly on my knees than in any other position. Have you seen God the Almighty? I've seen a vision of Him, not Him in person. Twice, once when a woman who was very close to him refused to get rid of a yahoo.com email address, I saw him in tears. And shortly after that, when a man who had a big Yahoo group website abandoned that because he didn't want to use the Yahoo name after he realized it was blasphemous. What if you don't like wine? Well, you can use grape juice. I use grape juice. I very seldom drink wine with alcohol in, but it's absolutely acceptable. There's a report of a situation in Korea where a prophet there prayed over a swimming pool of water and it was turned into wine, and that was wine with alcohol in it. So Father certainly does not have an objection to you drinking, using wine. But as I say, I use red grape juice. And please use red grape juice or red wine. Don't use white. This is a metaphoric representation of the blood of the covenant. It's not respectful to use anything other than red wine or red grape juice. What starts this cleanup process? Well, as we said before, a decision. Once you've made a decision, you start acting on all the things that I'm teaching you about. Don't we start over, question six, don't we start over in the next life to come? No, we certainly don't. We get into the next life to come as we are, bringing with us everything that we did in this life, whether good or bad. We're forgiven for the bad that we did, but all the good that we did remains with us. It's part of our credentials. It's part of what makes us who we are in heaven. It's part of what qualifies us for the position we are in heaven. People who come to heaven after us will find out about what we did on earth. So certainly we don't start over. Do we come here to be a servant of evil as a test? No, we certainly don't. We come here to be a servant to the Almighty, to be a friend to the Almighty. The fact that the earth is corrupt and full of evil, and most people turn to evil instead of to serving the Almighty, doesn't mean that it was Father's intention. All of this, what happened, was a completely unintended consequence of a manufacturing defect in the messenger angel that became Satan. So we're looking at seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. It's vital to understand how corrupt this world is and how much the forces of darkness, the satanic and demonic realm, are in control of the earth. If one is ignorant of this, one cannot hope to really walk in victory in this life. This series of programs seeks to address in detail the measures that one can take to overcome the corrupt state of the environment in which we're forced to operate. It is vital that you give the Almighty permission to work in your life and to teach you. Otherwise, you will remain in massive error and be defeated at the end of your life. Cleansing is a critical component of this. So resuming our discussion of component four of the seven components of drawing close to the Almighty, and we're looking at cleansing, and let's talk a little bit more about cleansing. At this point, my focus is on the vast majority of people who've either been unbelievers in mainstream society, or who have been nominal believers but doing little of substance. That said, if you're a mature, anointed believer of many years standing, who's never cleansed yourself in the way described here, these practices are entirely applicable to you as well. I applied them for the first time, the full suite of what I'm talking about tonight, in 2001, and I had been actively serving Father since 1993, and I'd had a number of dramatic experiences. In all cases, I advocate the same cleansing, with the exception that the new believer has 7 days of grace in which to undertake these measures at an extreme level. If you're a person who leads people from unbelief to belief in the Almighty, I would really encourage you to pay deep attention to what I'm talking about tonight. I had an experience many years ago where a fairly senior Satanist, full of tattoos, pins, tried to kill the leader of a assembly. I got there just after a group of burly men and pulled him to the ground and was sitting on him because they didn't know what to do. I prayed with him. I led him to a saving knowledge of the Almighty, and I applied all of these techniques with him. And after 7 days or after 8 days, he was dramatically converted and went on to become a very powerful servant. So these things do work. They have a dramatic impact. As in all that is presented here, what is contained in these teachings is a guide only. Do what you find to do, what Father leads you to do, what you're willing to do. But please understand, if you're not willing to go all out, do not be surprised if you don't end up in the highest position in heaven at the end of your life. These things are not whimsical little things that I've dreamt up. They're things that I've found necessary to do as part of a determined effort to get really close to Father and to serve Him effectively. Some of what follows may strike the average Western citizen as strange and even unacceptable. If that's the case for you, I suggest you park it and move on, but I'd encourage you to listen to the whole program. However, if you have got a revelation of the level of your sin, of the desperate fate that awaits you if you do not clean up your act, and the huge reward that awaits you if you do clean up your act, then I encourage you to go for it full out. I'm not advocating anything that I've not done myself. In fact, most of what's here I've done more than once. To the extent that some of what is presented here is extreme and will attract adverse comment from people around you, you may want to back off some of the components. That is up to you. The more you're willing to acknowledge your belief and trust in the Almighty Creator in public, the greater your standing with Him. going to talk about a 7-day water-only fast. In the extreme case where you desire to really clean up your act and have made a really solid commitment to Father, you could do the following. Most of the rest of tonight's teaching is going to be all the bullets that follow on from this. Commence a 7-day water-only fast. Take the bread and wine morning and evening, as I discussed in the last teaching. Pray morning and evening. Father, I ask you to help me during this fast. Help me to hear you more clearly. Show me all that you want me to get rid of in my life. Show me all sin that you want me to deal with. Show me all change that you want me to make. Help me to draw much closer to you during this fast. Please fill me with your Spirit day by day. Give me utterance in prayer such that your will is done in my life. This is an important prayer, and it evidences an important principle: to really give Father full permission to work in one's life. And so if you go back to the teachings on prayer a month or so ago, or in fact a few weeks ago, you will see that so many of the prayers that I advocate are giving Father carte blanche to operate in one's life in different areas. It's up to you to listen to the answers, to be sensitive to the answers. But I really encourage you to give him full authority to act in your life. If you don't, he doesn't have that authority. So associated with the 7-day water fast, and you don't have to do this with a 7-day water fast, the most powerful effect is to do it all together. Shave your entire body, including your head, and only accept your eyebrows if you're a man, and accept your eyebrows and your head if you're a woman. A woman's hair is her crown and glory. She should not, under any circumstances, shave her head. But for a man, it's a sign of humility to Father. By all means, if you're really serious about humbling yourself, shave your head. This is one of the things that's very visible. I did this once, and for 7 days I wore sackcloth under my shirt, and I attracted some unfavorable comment. But frankly, I don't regret doing it. Pray as you shave. Father, I ask you that as I shave myself, you will cut off all defilement, all satanic and demonic assignments and connections, and any other satanic ties that exist. The spirit realm leaves sticky things on your body, and this is how you get rid of them. Sticky, demonic, satanic things. Spiritual dirt, if you like. Pass the razor over every part of your body, including the soles of your feet and the palms of your hand. Now, you're not going to shave the soles of your feet or the palms of your hand, but you draw a safety razor lightly over those parts and symbolically cut off any spiritual ties anywhere. Your sexual organs are particularly important. If you're not prepared to physically shave, you can pass a safety razor over every part of your body without cutting hair and pray the same prayer. It'll be less effective, but it's better than doing nothing. For that matter, you can shave your entire body, and if you're a man, and leave the hair on your head. Entirely up to you. Do what works for you. The less you do, the less effective it'll be, but it's your choice. If you've come from full-blown Satanism, witchcraft, and similar, the above is absolutely critical to cut off the effects of tattoos, piercings, pins, etc. Let's talk a bit about sexual promiscuity. If you've been involved in multiple sexual relationships with people who are no longer part of your life, it is important that you at least shave your sexual organs and focus on cutting off all adulterous ties. Again, you're not going to actually physically apply the blade to the most intimate parts of your sexual organs. You would pass the razor just above the surface of the skin, a safety razor, not a cutthroat razor, and symbolically cut off all the ties. As I said in the last teaching, so much of the spirit realm works on metaphor and symbolism, and that's what this is about. This is sexual promiscuity is a complex subject in its own right. see the document on the website on the Virgin's Covenant, and also the document on separation of a man and woman who are in sexual union, for guidance on how to deal with the spiritual consequences of multiple sexual partners. Generally, you will need to pray to cut off the one flesh bonds on a case-by-case basis. Note that it is possible for a man to have a virgin's covenant with more than one woman, in which case Father expects that man to take responsibility for all the women involved, and Father may not grant a petition to cut ties. Let's talk about tattoos and piercings. If you have tattoos and/or piercings, you have blood covenants with the person or persons who made the tattoos and/or piercings. And there may well be curses and demons associated with those items. Conventional single-ear piercings are acceptable, but may still have curses or demons associated with them. That's a matter of who you got to do the piercing. If the person doing the piercing is a Satanist, then even a single-ear piercing will lead to demonic infestation. Less conventional piercings are likely to be more problematic. And if you've had your tattoos or piercings done in one of these tattoo shops, which have got all sorts of evil imagery around them, rest assured you've picked up a bunch of demons and there's a blood covenant between you and the tattoo artist or the person doing the piercing. Those things need to be cut off. If you have skulls or other satanic imagery in your tattoos, then you really need to do all that I'm talking about today at an extreme level. If you have tattoos or piercings and realize that you're in error, pray, Father, I repent of having this tattoo or piercing and piercing cut into my flesh. I ask you to cut off all blood covenants that have come into existence and to remove any demons that are associated with it or them. If there are a large number, you may need to deal with each tattoo or piercing one at a time. I've seen some extreme cases of people with tattoos pretty much all over their bodies. This is common, particularly with high order Satanists and witches. Not always, but certainly if somebody has gone heavily into Satanism and witchcraft, they're likely to have a fair number of tattoos, because that's one of the ways that they get bound into the coven with curses and things to keep them loyal. If you've been more heavily involved in Satanism and have pins and other artifacts embedded in your flesh, pray the same and be aware that there are heavy curses and demons associated with these artifacts. There are probably vows that you took that need to be renounced before demons will leave. Pray, Father, I repent of all vows that I've made associated with these pins or other artifacts, tattoos, etc. And I renounce all vows that I made associated with these items. I ask you to forgive me and to cast out all demons associated with these vows and artifacts in the name of Yeshua. You may need to pray this multiple times on a case-by-case basis with more information about the items in the vows. So you may have to make a list of every tattoo, every piercing, every pin that's in your flesh, and the vows, etc., that you took, and go through and systematically cut them off. You need to deal with the ones that came in last, first, so it's like peeling an onion. You take them off layer by layer until you get to the absolute root tattoo, the root piercing, the root pin, and you renounce the vows, you renounce the covenant. You ask Father to cover it with the blood of the covenant. In such cases, it's not over till it's over, and you have dealt with every tattoo and every piercing, and Father has shown you that every curse has been cut off and every demon cast out. If you're doing this in the first 7 days after you come to belief, you may do this very quickly. Under other circumstances, it may take quite a long time, and that's a function of how energetically you get into what we're talking about today. You will need to repeat this entire process several times if you've been heavily involved in Satanism, witchcraft, or similar. You may well need to repeat it more than once, just if you've been in general living your life as an unbeliever or as a nominal believer, and engaging just in all the nonsense of this world. The curses and demonic assignments interact and build on one another. So you need to remove them a layer at a time. You also need to improve your level of knowledge of the matters of the Creator so that you can deal with deeper seated sin that you're not currently aware of. There's a tendency for just ordinary people to get tattoos and piercings today. It's quite fashionable. The problem is that once you get one and you get a demon with it and you get a curse with it and you get a blood covenant with it, the next one is easier and the next one is easier and the next one is easier. There's nothing fundamentally spiritually significant about the fact that you've got ink under your skin. It's the fact that you've allowed somebody to draw your blood, even if it's just minute droplets, by sticking pins in you, sticking and piercing you. And that's allowed them, if they are that way inclined, to take out a blood covenant with you and to apply with that covenant curses and such like. So if you, particularly if you're a parent and you're dealing with children who are starting to get inclined to get piercings and tattoos, I would encourage you to familiarize yourself with what we're talking about here and to really try and educate your children so that they can make a quality decision not to go into this stuff. If you've already got into it, do everything we're talking about here and cut it off, and you should be fine. Let's talk about full body anointing. Now, this is a cleansing process. It's starting to really wash away the sin. It's starting to wash away the contamination. It's washing away the marks. Take a cup of grape juice or red wine, red grape juice or red wine. Stand in a shower or bath. I suggest you stand on a towel so that you do not slip. Pray over the cup of red grape juice or red wine. Father, I ask that this grape juice or wine represent the blood of the covenant. As I anoint my body with it, I pray that you will cleanse me of all defilement. I speak to all demons that are attracted to me, attached to me, and as I anoint myself with the blood of the covenant, I command all demons that no longer have a legal right to be attached to me to leave in the name of Yeshua. Father, as I anoint myself, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to bind and cast out and send where you want to go all demons that no longer have a legal right to be attached to me. And I ask you to show me what I need to do to remove the legal rights of those that remain. I ask you to cleanse me of all defilement in the name of Yeshua. Important when you're dealing with demons, when you're dealing with cleansing, that you pray in the name of Yeshua. Important to realize that it's a progressive process, so even if you're reasonably lightly contaminated, you will probably need to do this a few times to really get clear. I've done a full body anointing on, I've lost track, but probably 4 or 5 occasions in the last 15 years, 18 years. Note that demons will only leave once the legal right has been removed through repentance, restitution, etc. This is a process and will take time, as in weeks, months, or years. Note that if you're in the 7 days of grace after first belief, it is much easier to clean up like this. So if you've just believed, I encourage you to go at this full out. If you're a person who leads others to belief, then I would really stress that it is by that you have a responsibility to really understand what we're doing here and to do it as a matter of course. If you lead somebody in a prayer of belief, the next thing you should do is to go through this entire process step by step as rigorously and thoroughly and comprehensively as you possibly can with them. Have them do it. Lead them through it. Can't stress that enough. So then pour some grape juice or wine over your head and work it into your hair if you've not shaved your head. Progressively smear it all over your body, including in your mouth, in your ears, and in other apertures. Look at it as a strong shower gel or something like that you're using to wash yourself with. you want to apply it to every part of your body in the same way that if you're washing. So you're washing yourself with the blood of the covenant. You're removing all traction for demonic and satanic marks. You're wiping off all defilement from demons. You're making it very much more difficult for demons to stick to you. A demon doesn't want to be anywhere near the blood of the covenant. So if they don't have a legal right, they will be out of there very, very readily when you do this. If you've been defiled sexually, ensure that you fully cover your sexual organs. Wash them thoroughly. Then take a cup of olive oil. Again, stand in a shower or bath. In this case, it's particularly important to stand on an old towel or something else so that you do not slip. The oil is very slippery. Have other old towels available to dry off with afterwards. Pray along the lines of, Father, I ask that this oil will represent the anointing of your Spirit, and that as I anoint myself with this oil, that you will pour out your Spirit upon me and cleanse me of all defilement. Anoint yourself as you did with the grape juice or wine. See this as smearing. The word anoint, mesach, in Hebrew, means to smear with the Spirit of the Almighty. That's exactly what you're doing here. You are smearing yourself with the Spirit of the Almighty, or with the oil that you've prayed to represent the Spirit of the Almighty. Expect to receive a significant new infilling of the Spirit. I generally wash in a bath of warm water after I've done this, unless I'm in a position to remain with the oil on my body for a while. But it is, you very easily stain things, and you can't really walk around with olive oil all over yourself in the way that I apply it. So the objective is not to coat yourself with oil. It is use the oil as a metaphor for the Spirit of the Almighty, and as you demonstrate your intention with the oil, to receive anointing. I've had people praying for me with anointing oil, and on one occasion many, many years ago, I asked them if I could take their vial of oil, and I poured the entire vial of oil over my head. This was at a prayer meeting, and I think people thought I was crazy, but I received a strong filling of the Spirit of the Almighty because of my faith in doing this. Coming back to what I was saying about washing, it's acceptable to bathe after you've completed this process, and I found that cheap shampoo is effective in removing the oil. Next step in the process is triple immersion. Need to stress, there's this whole thing about baptize or dip or dunk or whatever. Folks, there is absolutely no significance in taking a few drops of water and gingerly tapping it on the forehead of some person. It means absolutely nothing, except that there may be a transfer of demons. What we're talking about here, and the word that's translated in Leviticus and so forth, is to immerse yourself in a body of clean water. Total immersion. That's what this is about. There's no dispute about it, folks. If you're still wondering whether you should dip or dunk, you dunk. You get under the water. If you have access to a swimming pool or other body of water, this is the preferred option. You will need to bathe in warm water to remove the oil before you immerse in a public swimming pool, and probably in any swimming pool because it will clog up the filter. If you do not have access to a large body of water like a swimming pool or a free-flowing river or lake, then immerse yourself in a bathtub filled as full as possible. You will probably have to immerse different parts of your body in a progression, as unless the bath is very large or you are very small, you will not be able to fully immerse at one time. I have to sit there with my legs under the water and then slide down until I can put my head under the water, at which point my legs are way out of the water. But you want to get every part of your body under the water. Again, this is symbolic. Either way, immerse three times and pray as follows. One prayer with each immersion in sequence. Number one, Father, as I immerse myself, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin and cleanse me from all defilement associated with my sin. Number two, Father, as I immerse myself, I ask you to immerse me into your set apart, in other words, Holy Spirit, and to fill me with your Spirit. Number three, Father, as I immerse myself, I ask you to immerse me into your kingdom. As always, pray whatever else you feel led to pray. See the article, Immersion for Cleansing and Infilling with the Set Apart Spirit of Yah, on the website for more information. From my own experience, the first time I did this was with the Satanist that I mentioned previously. I'd only just discovered that triple immersion is what you should do. I immersed him three times. The second time he went under the water, he said that he felt extreme warmth. This was a very cold day in very cold water, but he said that the water felt warm to him. When he went under the third time, immerse into your kingdom, he had a vision of the gates of heaven opening and him walking through it. That is so powerful. I did this myself sometime later with a few friends. And as we went under the water the first time, a demonic sphinx, one of the chaps could see in the spirit, and a demonic sphinx flew off the property. The third time we immersed, he saw Yeshua, Jesus, walking down the steps into the swimming pool with his arms stretched out towards us. Again, I can't stress enough, this triple immersion is so powerful. If you've never done it and you don't have time to do all the rest that I'm talking about today, I encourage you to do it as soon as you can and really try and get to a place where you can get into a swimming pool or a lake or a river. Or other large body of water. When I say large enough for you to go under the, put your whole body under the water easily and comfortably. If you can't swim, obviously be careful where you go. So looking at some further parts of cleansing, which we'll talk about in the next few weeks, hopefully, either as part of the 7-day fast program or as a distinct activity, cleanse your dwelling as set out in the broadcasts that follow. We'll talk about this in some length. Most people have got all sorts of artifacts in their houses that have got demonic association. If you didn't build a house from scratch, the probability is that there are demons floating around from previous residents. It's possible, depending on where you are in the world, that the builders have set, in fact, spiritual marks, buried bones and all sorts of things in the building to put a curse on the building when it was built. There's all sorts of things that go with that. That's a whole teaching or two on its own right. Either as part of the 7-day program or as a distinct activity, cleanse yourself in more detail with regard to demons, and we'll talk about that in a subsequent teaching. It's a big subject, folks. There's a huge amount to learn, huge amount to do. And then either as part of the 7-day program or again as a distinct activity, do an in-depth audit of your life as set out in the broadcasts that follow. We'll talk about that at some length in the next few weeks as well. Sit down and go through your entire life and make a list of everything that has got spiritual consequences that you need to deal with. Any repenting you need to do, any forgiveness you need to do, any acts that may have brought in demons, etc. Also quite a big subject. If you've just come to belief, I strongly recommend that you do all of the above in the first 7 days. If you're leading people to a saving decision, then I really encourage you to encourage them to take a week off work and do this wholeheartedly for 7 days, or 8 days in actual fact. If you do it during the 7 days, that's first prize. If not, do it whenever you can. If at all possible, spend the 7 days of the fast in prayer and study and do whatever you find to do. There are about 1,400 articles on the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, on a huge diversity of topics from which you will find answers to many questions. Some of these articles are highly inspired and anointed, and some less so. Some of the older articles in particular contain significant error, but Father said that they should remain because there is truth amongst the error, and is up to you, each person, to discern the truth for themselves. When you find something you do not agree with, then pray about it and ask Father to show you the truth. He is the only source of all truth. See also the article, Seek Truth, Not Error, for more information. Do not get stuck on my errors or what you perceive to be my errors. I do not claim to be without error, and if I were to know my errors, I wouldn't have them, would I? Also note that older articles are generally more likely to have error than newer articles, but even that cannot be guaranteed. Some of the older articles are very accurate. Note also that if I spent my time editing old articles to correct what I came to understand to be error, I would not have time to write the new things that Father is giving me. During this process of study and prayer, whether all day, every day, for 7 days, or a few hours as you have time, do what you find to do in terms of repenting of sin, binding demons and commanding them to leave you, phoning up or going to visit people you've wronged, repenting and asking for forgiveness, returning items you've stolen, etc. Where you discover that you have Virgin's Covenants in place, read the document on the Virgin's Covenant on the website for guidance, as well as the article on separation of a man and woman who were in sexual union under men and women on the website for guidance. Those same principles apply if you've had same-sex relationships, specifically men with men. Women with women is not necessarily an issue, as I've said before. Again, I want to make the point, this is not something that happens overnight. If you're able to do it in the first 7 days after a true decision for first belief, there is huge grace. You don't have to be as precise, you don't have to be as rigorous, you don't have to be as detailed. A huge amount of stuff can be disposed of in those first 7 days. If you've missed those first 7 days and you've been a believer for some time, even if it's quite a nominal believer, you're going to have to work at it more strictly. And it does take time. I spent considerable time doing the things that we're talking about here and getting to a place where I believe I can claim today that I'm pretty free of demons. Turning to the overall cleansing process, on the 7th day after you commence the above process, shave again, anoint with grape juice or wine again, and olive oil again, and immerse 3 times again. On the 8th day, shave again, anoint with grape juice or wine and olive oil again, and immerse 3 times again. That is the most powerful thing that you can do. If you can manage to do all of this on the 1st day, the 7th day, and again on the 8th day, you will have a dramatic cleansing. You will never be the same again unless you go totally off the rails, and you will be very much less likely to go totally off the rails if you've done all of this. If you do not have the resolve to shave again or anoint and immerse 3 times, at least do this all once at the commencement of the process. And if it doesn't appeal to you now, leave it. Do it later. Just understand that until you've done this process, you are going to continue to carry a whole lot of demonic baggage with you wherever you go. So let's recap. We've looked at some general principles that may seem foreign to you. I've strongly recommended a 7-day water-only fast. We've looked at shaving almost your entire body to cut spiritual ties. We've discussed dealing with the consequences of sexual promiscuity. We've looked at dealing with the impact of tattoos and piercings. We've looked at full body anointing with the blood of the covenant and the oil of the spirit of Yah. We've looked at triple immersion, and we've seen how powerful that is, and looked at 2 situations where people had dramatic experiences. We've touched on cleansing your dwelling, more detailed cleansing of demons, and doing an in-depth spiritual audit of your life. More of that in the broadcasts to come. I've recommended that you spend the 7 days of the fast in reading, study, and prayer. There is much on the website. We've looked at repeating the shaving, anointing, and immersion 3 times. I hope that you've managed to listen with me all through this. Well, I guess you would. If you haven't, you won't be listening to me now. But I hope that you've been able to stay with me. I understand that what I've talked about here is pretty foreign to just about everybody. Most people would say it's extreme. And I would say to you, if you want to be a friend of the Almighty, if you want to overcome to the end, if you want to sit on a high throne for eternity, then it is extreme. I don't want to beat around the bush. I don't want to convince you to do this in a half-hearted, slipshod, sloppy way. I want to encourage you to go all out. I want you to do everything that you possibly can to draw close to Father. This is the sort of stuff that's going to make the difference between you sitting on a high throne for eternity and not sitting on a high throne for eternity, is the extent to which you are willing to go all out to cleanse yourself. And if you've never done this and you refuse to do this, please don't come to me and tell me my doctrine's wrong. I've had a debate recently with a guy who's trying to tell me that I'm wrong on some key points. He's never been on a fast. He's never done this process. He's crawling with demons, but he's arrogant enough to think that he knows better than I do. And I'm sorry if I sound a bit whatever about that, but I find it really sad that people who are not willing to do the sort of thing that we're talking about today think that they're then in a position to have defining opinions. If you want to really serve Father, then I would suggest for your consideration that what we've talked about today is not negotiable. Just draw your attention again to a few documents on the main web menu, on the main menu. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu, the foundation of this whole series of teachings of this radio program. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator near the bottom of the menu. This broadcast is taken from that document. So if you want to get ahead of me, just download that document off the website and start applying it. It's all there. I'm just elaborating on it in this broadcast. Recommended worship near the bottom of the menu. I taught a few weeks ago on worship. Can't stress it enough. Absolutely key. There's no point listening to secular music. There's no point listening to nice music without words. You need to sing songs that have got meaning and have got teeth to them. And the rest of them are not worth wasting time on. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu. Really important to understand how Father's name permeates history. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Really an important teaching. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's all one word. Transcripts of nearly all the teachings of this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page and also at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts and you'll get all of the recordings. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. So in closing, thank you for listening. I hope you found this worthwhile. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I would love to do that. I would love to hear from you. If you are in any way benefiting from this message and deciding to get closer to Father. I can hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Folks, that's all for now. I really hope that you will take this message seriously. I hope that you will apply it fully in your life. I hope that it's helped you to realize why there's organized religion is such a mess, because they don't do any of these things. They just carry on in a defiled, demonically infested way. Stress again, it doesn't matter your race, your religion, whether you're wealthy or not, whether you're old or young, this is available to you now. Good night. Father, I